Daniel, take it away.
Okay, thank you. So first, also thank you again to the Sagirs and sort of Ellie for arranging this. And of course, I think all of our tefillot this week have been with the Sasson family, and the shir should be for Refuah Shleima, for Gila Bat Francis and Tzipora Bat Gila. And for a friend of mine, Rav Naftali, who I mentioned before, another shiurim, who's also Bezrat Hashem, I hope everything's going well with him, but he, in general, is not well and could use a Refuah Shleima. Rav Gabriel Pinchas Ben Dvoras Lata. So it should be a Refuah Shleima for them, B'toch Shar Cholei Yisrael. So what I was going to focus on mainly was some of the mitzvos in the Torah, some of the main centerpieces of the Seder night, and giving some halachic background and context for them, such as drinking the wine, eating the challah, we'll talk a little, eating the matzah, olecha, moti lecha min haaretz. I was making sure that you guys are still paying attention. Eating the matzah, and we'll talk a little bit about Haseba, but Shmuel asked about why can't we make an early Pesach Seder? In theory, you could daven early, but that wouldn't help if you have to wait for an hour and a half afterwards. But the idea is that we know that there's a mitzvah of eating. We don't know. There's a mitzvah of eating the korban pesach at night. That's what it says in the Torah. You have to eat the korban pesach at night. So then there's a hekesh. There's a connection between the mitzvah of korban pesach and the mitzvah of matzah. So the matzah has to be eaten at night after tzeit properly after in the nighttime. And then once you're already getting the matzah, so then the whole, what's the context of the matzah? It's the Leila Seder. And what is the beginning of Leila Seder? That's the first cup of wine, which is the same thing as Kiddush. So because it's all incorporated in the mitzvah of matzah in that one package, that's why.
So you just got the 5 minutes for singing the song with the Seder, and that's about it.
Yep.
That's about all you could say.
There's a cute story I heard from a Shir Bar of Shechter, which is probably available on YU Torah somewhere, where he got a question from a nursing home, that the residents there really had a hard time waiting till tzeit. So is there any way you could bend the rules a little bit to start it early? So he said, I have an idea. So this kind of goes against what Rav Moshe Weinberger was saying. Because Nirtza, which has all these beautiful songs at the end of the Seder, is not really part of the Seder. If you look in the Rishonim, the Rishonim, they don't really have any, they came out to have a perush on all those songs. So that wasn't part of the original Seder. So Rav Shechter said, that's not really part of the Seder. So what you can do is sing Chad Gadya, Echad Miodeya, and all the wonderful songs everybody knows at the beginning before Kiddush, and do that, stretch out for a half hour.
They could also be done with Maariv 5 minutes before Tzeis. I mean, usually you're done with Maariv 20 minutes after.
Yeah, but it wasn't the issue of the...
You get home, it's 45 minutes after Tzeis.
Right. But I think it was B'chlal the idea they wanted to start dinner at 6:30 as opposed to 7:30. So he said afterwards, a person called up and said it worked really well, that everybody was very happy. So they have to be creative sometimes. But okay. So let's get started with we start off with the mitzvah of Kiddush. So what do we, everybody knows there's a preference for a certain kind of wine on Leila Seder. What's the preference for?
Red
wine. Manischewitz, right? Do they sell that in Israel? I don't know. Look for the Geula and the Manischewitz in the Beit Shemesh stores. Okay, so why is there a preference for red wine? There's one local reason for related to Pesach and one general reason in halacha.
Blood.
That's the local reason.
Generally speaking.
Good, right. So blood in general, exactly. So the general idea is, which I think even if you look around nowadays at the wine stores, there seems to be that usually red wines are better wines. I think that you could have wonderful white wines, but I think most good wines are red wines. That's my non-professional opinion. Anybody want to disagree with that? That sounds so. There, in times of the Gemara, apparently, in times of Chazal, there's a preference given to red wine, and then in general, it was a more quality wine. So that's why there's a preference given to red in general, unless you have a better white wine, let's say for a Kiddush or something like that. So we generally give preference to a red. And on Pesach night, there's an additional reason that it reminds us of the blood, of the suffering of Mitzrayim, so that's why we also want to have that. Which is interesting, the Mishnah Berurah brings from the poskim that if you live in a place where there are blood libels, so then sometimes it's better to not have red wine, because it could start causing rumors, you're having the blood wine. We would think that there are no more blood libels, but actually a year ago, the Hamas person on international news media was saying the Jews use the blood for the matzahs, and it's been scientifically proven, and they admit it, and their scientists say it. So this is unfortunately as ridiculous as it sounds, it's not completely gone away. So we're starting off with the wine. So how much wine do you have to have? So this is, we have to have a revit. What's a revit? So this, there's a big range of opinions, ranging anywhere from 3 ounces to 5.3 ounces. So
metric tons.
No.
What is a revit? Okay. What is it? How big it is? What is it?
What is it? It's just a measurement.
And he gets right, I'm saying, where does it come from? What is it?
It's a measurement from the Torah that we have no frame of reference for nowadays. It's
based on meaning.
I don't know if it would help you. Meaning, there's a whole system of measurements with lugim and meaning. What do you have context for where the Rebbe came from?
For instance, I was looking at something the other day, like whatever, you know, an Omer. Okay, an Omer is whatever it is. In other words, just like Rebbe, where does it come from? What is it? Ultimately, so it's from the Torah somewhere, right?
Right.
Okay, so measurement too.
What's that?
If it's a liquid, there's nothing natural. There's no naturally liquid occurring. Like
it was like if you went to the times of the Gemara to the store and said I want a Revit, they'd have their measuring cup that says Revit on it, and then they would pour you out that amount. It was just the amount. It was a commonly used measurement that was used for their weights and measures and their liquids, and so that which makes it tricky to figure out how it does. There are indications of the Gemara that it is kind of relative. It's equivalent to kind of this, and we tried to figure out what that was and. But it's not a natural amount. It's not like what you'll get to from us, like a kezayit. Which would seem like that would be obvious because we could measure an olive, but that also has its own complications. But with the Revi, we don't even necessarily have a good frame of reference. That's why you have that it's almost 100% difference between the Mekel and the Machmer Shitas. The Rav Chaim Noe and the Chazon Ish are the most famous, I feel like, bookends on this topic. And the Rav Chaim Noe is the 3 ounces... okay, what is it? 86 grams. Does that mean anything?
Yes. Milliliters.
86 milliliters. Milliliters.
That's Mekel or Machmer?
That's Mekel. That's Mekel. And the Chazon Ish is 150. It's a thing that I think they say Rav Chaim Noe, it's Gematria Kos, and Rav Chazon Ish is Gematria Kos Noe, or something like that. There's something. I don't know.
Rav Chaim Noe is
Hand Coast was not the Coast Nine. But I really don't know how much this is, but this is definitely this is 6 ounces. This is according to everybody. It's according to everybody.
I'm not saying I'm just trying to give a sense,
a frame of reference. I'm not saying you should get this size cup. Yeah. I'm saying that even if you'd follow the most Machmir opinion, just get a sense of what that would be. You could measure it out. You should measure it out before, and if you're, I think it's very very hard to find a kos which is not according to the Mekel shear. I have a very very small kos which is right around the Mekel shear, but it looks very small. It's like a children's cup.
That's how much the cup's going to be, or that's how much.
Okay, so that's how much the cup has to be. That's step one. Okay, so the cup has to be somewhere between 3 and 5.3 ounces between Rav Willig I saw is even a drop more Mekel, 75 milliliters, but. But the Chazon Ish up to 150. So those are the opinions. That's how big the kos has to be. How much of the kos are you supposed to drink? So lichadchila, you should drink the entire kos. And b'di'eved, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of kiddush and kos 2, 3, and 4 if you have most of the kos. This is all in the assumption that you're dealing with a revit sized kos. That let's say you say I'm the Chazon Ish and I measure this is exactly 5.3 ounces. So I have to drink most of this lichadchila and the. I have to drink it all the chachila and most of it b'di'eved. Let's say you have a kos shel Eliyahu and you're using that as your kos. So you fill it up and it has like half a bottle of wine in there. So that is now a machloket that some of the Rishonim say you still have to drink lechachila all of it and b'di'eved most of it. Really. Another Rishonim say no, that and so how we pass me ikar adin, that as long as you drink most of a revi'it's worth from that kos, so you're yotze. But it's if you have the preference between a nice small cup and a nice big cup, it's probably better to go with a nice small cup because that way you'll fill all the Rishonim that you'll be able to drink most of the kos and not have to get into some of these complications. So now when you're drinking your kos, there's the idea of haseba. There's haseba for the kos, haseba for the matzah. So why do we do haseba on the Seder night?
Freedom.
Freedom. Do free people do haseba nowadays in general?
No.
Okay, so that's what you have to understand a little bit more. Haseba seems to have been taken pretty seriously in the Gemara. The Gemara Pesachim says that the Shamash who's going around bringing the food, he's the waiter for the meal, so if he eats a kezayit of matzah, be'haseba he's yotze. The Gemara says, be'haseba he's yotze, shelo be'haseba he's not yotze. The Gemara says, yeah. That the halacha is that if you eat matzah or drink the wine without haseba, you're not yotze, at least in the times of the Gemara.
Is it were slaves or not? Like, did not lean? Is that
so? I don't know. So I think certainly slaves did not lean. I think even beyond that, this is like the very fancy people who had their little couches and their little tables and their servants. This is like really the elite used to eat the haseba. So we want to show that we're free and we're the. I think it was the Maharil The Shulchan Aruch says, or the Rama says, that there's a minhag on Pesach. You don't want to pull this trick at home, I don't think. To put all your most beautiful kelim out, so you have all your silver. So you take all the chametz stuff, all the wine and whatever, and put it on the table to make it look beautiful. So it says the Ma'aril would never use. He apparently would lend money to everybody, including the non-Jews, and he would get a mashkon. He would get a diamond ring from them or whatever it was to make sure that it was a security, make sure they'd repay their loans. So he never used those mashkonot at all. He would just keep them safe somewhere in his house. But on Pesach night, he would bring it all to his table and make it look beautiful, and so it would be a very fancy. So we see the idea of cheirut is not only showing we're free to the exclusion of servitude, it also shows we're trying to be very... we're trying to express how much wealth and how much abundance Hashem has blessed us with. So I think the idea of Haseba is part of that picture of appreciating the like rich men, not only free men. So that's the idea of Haseba. So first of all, technically, before we get into maybe nowadays how important is Haseba, even in the times of Gemara, what is Haseba? So many people do Haseba like this, right? You take the cup of wine and you go like, you have to move away, Ravelli. Or else it's not going to work, right? So they do this. So says Rav Salvechik, and says some other...
It's much harder if you're right-handed.
What?
Right.
So right. So he says it doesn't work. Why? Because this is not comfortable. And if anything, this is less comfortable than sitting in your chair. So not only does it seem weird, but it's just not comfortable. So Rav Salvechik, how would you want to do a seba? Either you can get a chair, an armchair, and then really lean on it in a comfortable way, or this is not going to come through on the recording. But only so much you can do. So you have to turn your chair like this, right? And then much nicer, very comfortable. So that, the idea of leaning on something that really gives it a certain sense of comfort and relaxation. And actually, there's something to it there. But says Rav Soloveitchik, if you're leaning into the air and it's just awkward and hurting your stomach, so that's certainly not a seba. Okay, so that's what a seba is.
I'll just mention that I just heard actually from two different sources. One is Rabbi Gettinger from the West Side. He passed away about 3 weeks ago. So anyway, it's close to Rabbi Gettinger, and so I heard two people say they happen to be with him for Siddurim, and he would go until 4 a.m., one person at 4 a.m., one person at 5 a.m.
Wow.
And then he did the shirashim after that. But anyway, so they said that about Rabbi Gettinger, he had like a bay window at the end of his dining room. He would actually put a mattress out on the seat area where the bay window is, or a cushion, a mattress, something like that, and he'd slide the table right up to the bay window, and so he would actually have a mattress he could lie down on.
Wow! Yeah, fair. Nice.
Just for one person, though, no.
Those
of you guys can be Mako.
So nowadays, as we already noted, people, and even rich people at fancy banquets, do not do a seba. So says the Ra'avia, one of the Bali Tosfot, and therefore Chazal never said you have to do a seba. Chazal said you should eat a seba because that's the way of showing freedom and showing wealth. So therefore, nowadays that we don't do a seba, says the Rav Yossi, you do not have to do a seba anymore. So instead of being ma'akev bidi eved, the Gemara said if the servant ate without a seba, he's not yotzei. Says the Rav Yossi, the chachil, you don't have to do it. So what do you do instead? You have the fancy foods and you get dressed up very with your best clothes and
leave some bank statements lying around.
Right. Yeah, you have to figure it out, but he says you don't have to do a seba. So we do not accept the Ra'avya lichatchila, but he has some applications in a few cases. First of all, the Gemara says that in the case of women, you guys, a question for the crowd. Do you, in your families, do the women do a seba?
Yes.
Yes and no.
Yes.
Either yes or no. So, in my family growing up, the woman did a seba, but apparently in the times of the Rama, he said that the custom was a woman did not do a seba, which is a bit of a problem, because the Gemara says most women do not do a seba in the times of the Gemara, but it says if the woman is an isha chashuva, that it was considered normal or not uncommon for her to do a seba, so she should do a seba. Says the Rama, what?
Wasn't the reason that they don't do a seba because they have to move a lot, like I'm out in Shnabara, and he wants to bring to the table and all that. reason.
That's the reason why they didn't in the times of the Gemara. It could be. It could be in the times of the Gemara. That wasn't considered normal for them because they were so busy serving and doing other things. But says the Ramah, in his time, he thought the woman should have done a seba, because he thought the woman were chashuvot and they should have done a seba. He said the women aren't doing a seba. Why? It must be because for the case of women who never did a seba, in the times of the Gemara, they weren't doing it anyway. So now for them, we can continue not doing it based on this Ra'avya. That nowadays it's nobody does a seba anyway. There's some other. I think the Shulchan Aruch or maybe the Ramah says that there's a nice hiddur to do a seba throughout the entire meal, which can get tricky with soup. But other than that, it's a nice idea. So says the Mishnah Berurah that again, that many poskim say that nowadays we don't do this because in general for us, maybe we'll do it for matzah or for the wine where the Chazal said to do it, but throughout the whole meal where it wasn't actually instituted to do it. So in our society, we don't do a seba anyway, so we don't have to do it then. But maybe for our purposes as males, the most important application could be b'di'eved. Let's say somebody accidentally ate their matzah or drank their wine without his seba. So do you have to repeat the wine or the matzah? So there are some poskim who say you rely on their avya and you don't have to do it. But we try lechatchila to not rely on their avya except for in certain instances. So if somebody has matzah, they didn't eat beseba, we say you should eat matzah again. But if somebody has a cup of wine and doesn't do a seba, there could be something negative about saying just drink another cup of wine. Anybody want to take a guess? What could be the possible negative thing? What's that? Yeah, well, yeah, good. Two good suggestions. Either you're going to get drunk, or that it looks like you're being mosif. You're being mosif ala kosot.
Maybe you wouldn't have enough matzah.
If you're not going to have enough matzah, so then I guess you could rely for everybody else at the table, or just rely on the rabbi. Yeah, in that case.
If you do like another share because you want to rely on those instead of
you do need hasebah.
Yeah. Then is it possible to have a smaller share though?
Yeah. I would think that. I think so. That sounds fair.
Well, the matzah isn't also like already sfeika. Like then we don't know where the mitzvah of matzah is. It's the mitzvah of the first one.
Right. It's true. It's true. Rely on afikomen.
Yeah. Two.
It's a good point. It's a very good point.
You're gonna
need it. It's a very good point. But in general, right. That's a problem. Yeah. So we say if it's the last two cups for sure. So you do not you should not re-drink the wine. Why? Because then after the meal is done, there's a problem of being mosif ala koso. There's a problem of looking like you're adding cups just for the sake of the mitzvah. That's problematic. But theoretically, if somebody after the first cup of wine wants to have more wine or wants to have a drink of water during the Seder, in theory you are allowed to. There's no problem. But the thing is that says the Ramah, therefore, if in the first two cups of wine somebody forgets to do a seba, so have another cup of wine. But the problem there, says the Mishnah Berurah, is that in our times nobody has another cup of wine after the first cup of wine. Nobody does that. So maybe you'd have to make another bracha. And it certainly looks like you're being mosif ala kosot. So then he says, for the first cup of wine, again, rely on the avya. For the second cup of wine, you're about to have your meal, okay, so then you could have another cup of wine in your meal by a seba and just be machmir on that. But at the end of the day, so if you eat your matzah without a seba, it's good to eat matzah. Again, if you have wine without a seba, for all but the second cup, which is going to be part of your meal anyway, so then you should just rely on the avya b'di'evet.
You're right, though, but the Afikoman, the Mishnah Berurah says for Afikoman that you don't go back and do Haseba again if you forgot to do Haseba for the Afikoman.
Okay, and one last thing for the next few minutes, and that's in terms of matzah. So matzah and how much matzah you have to eat and what...
No,
yeah,
meaning,
yeah.
Somebody told me you should have the bracha before you lean. You should not, it's not polite to God to lean during the bracha. Is that brought down anywhere? Is that just something that my friends told me?
That makes sense. I don't remember seeing that.
Okay.
But it makes sense to me. So, and then in terms of matzah, so we have three matzahs at our Seder. So which of those matzahs are the matzahs for the mitzvah of eating matzah on Leila Seder? And which of those matzahs are for the challahs? That you should have two challahs every Yom Tov and Shabbos meal. So...
It could be both.
Why do we have three matzahs? So the truth is, not everybody had three matzahs. This is the machloket Rishonim. The Rif and the Rambam, I think Rav Salvechik, they had two matzahs at their Seder. They had the whole matzah and the broken matzah after they washed. And most people do not do that. We have the three matzahs. So why do we have three? Because that's what the Rush said. This is the machloket. We know you're supposed to have Lechem Mishnah in general for Shabbos and Yom Tov. So is it appropriate to have Lechem Mishnah where one of them is broken? So said the Rif, yeah, that's fine. You could have Lechem Mishnah, your two matzahs, And it also, one of them is for the, is going to be for the mitzvah of matzah. That, there's nothing wrong with that. But the Rosh, he thought that you should have two whole matzahs for the sake of lechem mishnah. In addition to that, have a matzah which is designated for the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, so you have these three matzahs, and you make hamotzi, and you drop the bottom one, and then you say alachilas matzah, and then, so now, this is not coming from the Rosh. The Rosh seems to say that so now you're making hamotzi, let's say, and you make two brachas after you wash. You say hamotzi and alachilat matzah. So hamotzi is really on the whole matzah, and alachilat matzah is on, let's say, the broken matzah. So says the Rosh, you should have a kezayit from the matzah you made hamotzi on, and you have a kezayit from the matzah you made alachilat matzah on. That's where this idea of a double kezayit comes from when you first wash and eat the matzah.
That means like everyone's supposed to have their own.
Okay, so everyone's supposed to have this. So practically, if you have 30 people at your Seder, it's impossible to give everybody a kezayit from the top matzah and a kezayit from the broken matzah. Like, it's not going to happen, especially according to our shiurim of kezayit.
Your family, even yeah, if they're yeah, three.
Right. So it seems like if what you're going to do is break it up and everybody's going to take a little piece, there's really no reason for this chumra of the Rosh to have two kezayitim. But we'll see that it's going to come back to us in a different form. And that is, so then there's another idea of how big is our kezayit. And so the Node Yehuda, he was very, very machmir. He thinks that our kezayitim are double, the kezayit is double what our olives are nowadays. And you have to have double than what you think a kezayit is. Forgetting, putting away some of the technicalities for a second. So at the end of the day, what many of the poskim say is that we have this chumra of having two kezayitim when you have motzi matzah. Which is based on this idea of one from the lechem, one from the hamotzi, one from the alachilat matzah. So what you should really do is, people at the table who are not the Baal HaSeder are not going to be mekayim that, because they're not going to get two from these two matzahs. But you could have two kezeitim of matzah, but you're having two kezeitim because you're being choshesh for the tzlach, for the Node B'Yehuda, that you have to have a double shiur for any time you're doing your, every kezeit is supposed to be a double shiur. And we don't usually follow this machmir opinion, but if it's a mitzvah from the Torah, so we should be choshesh for this Node B'Yehuda. And therefore, since the first time you eat matzah, it's a mitzvah from the Torah, so therefore you should have this double shear of a kezayit. So it's a little bit technical, and it seems to be a bunch of chumras together, but that's what it comes down to. This idea of having two kezeitim of matzah, the original form of that was that you should have one from the hamotzi, one from the motzi matzah. And what it is practically for many people nowadays is just to be choshesh for this opinion that maybe our kezeitim have to be doubled, and therefore you should have a double one for the mitzvah from the Torah. So on a so then you should have a double shiur for the motzi matzah, and then a single kezayit for korech, and then for afikom, and for some reason that's totally separate, you should have a double shiur according to some opinions. It's nice to have a double shiur to remember one keneged the korban pesach, one keneged the korban chagiga, or maybe the korban pesach itself required two kezeitim. There's some sort of idea of zecher le something. You should have two kezeitim for the afikomen. So whatever it is, you should be zecher. Whatever it's zecher that I want to be yotzei that. So the question is, how big is a kezeit and how big is this double kezeit? So what's that? So there are more machmir opinions than I'm going to say. This is based on Rav Eider and Rav Willig, who say that for a hand matzah, a single kezayit is somewhere between a quarter and a fifth of the matzah. Okay, or a fifth to a quarter of the matzah.
Are they circle ones, you mean?
Yeah, circle ones. So a fifth to a quarter. That's a single.
So you're always eating them. You know.
So that would mean for the double shear, it's gonna be double that. So it's gonna be a little bit less than half, around half. Yeah. And for a machine matzah, a single kezayit would be 40% of the matzah, which double one would be 80% of the matzah, or maybe a little bit less, somewhere around there. But those are the shiurim. So we should all hopefully be able to appreciate the mitzvah and the opportunity of what matzah represents, and not just be focusing so much on the measurements and the stuffing our faces to get it in time. Which again, the idea of which I didn't mention to eat it within. There are different shiurim how long you're supposed to eat it within, but somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes, maybe 4 minutes is the ideal goal to eat it within. But at the same time, we're being very medactic in halacha to try to be also appreciate the context and the big picture and the shevach and the hodaya and what the matzah represents.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.